Welcome to the Angler's Channel Insider Podcast, presented by Sportsman's Warehouse, your fishing and outdoor store. And here are your hosts, AC Insiders, Danny Blandford, and Vance McCullough.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the AC Insider Podcast, brought to you by Sportsman's Warehouse, Mercury Marine, the all-new Vexus Boats, as well as our friends at Relyon Lithium Battery providing the juice. Vance, good to see you. I feel like I've seen a lot of you in the past couple of weeks, but, you know, congratulations on making it home. We've survived back-to-back championships. Woo! You know what?
Yeah, I mean, I put down the miles this last couple of weeks. I know how Ricky Bodford feels, our buddy at our insider that shoots us some good content from all the tournament trails. He's at all the MLF and Bassmaster stuff, and so are we this week. And, I mean, went from Florida to Birmingham, back to Florida, out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and back. And, yeah, finally got me a good 8 hours of sleep last night, and I'm feeling good, man. But I'm really excited. It was very exciting, and I really, really enjoyed the last couple of weeks.
I have too, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles. It's been a grind, but you know, to your point, this episode this week we're recapping, I guess, last week's activity, the week before last's activities down in Birmingham. We got to attend the Red Crest, and man, did MLF do a great job with that and take good care of us, or what? That was an awesome deal. Awesome deal. Yeah.
It was awesome. And from our side of the desk where we sit, too, we got to throw a shout out to Joe Opogger and Charity Mullenway and all the help they always give us. They're just doing an exemplary job over there with the media relations at MLF and, you know, helping set stuff like this up. And just shout out to our friends there, man. Y'all doing a great job, and we appreciate you having us. You know, Birmingham was a lot of fun, and on and off the water.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You can't say enough about the way MLF took us, and you know, just the overall organization and the atmosphere was fantastic. Like the expo was good, and obviously we had some exciting fishing at Red Crest. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah,
I have been I'm a bit of a convert, and I, you know, I'll tell on myself, I don't think I gave it enough. I didn't let myself get inundated enough in the format prior to going to Red Crest. And once we got there and you and I kind of covering it and doing things and working with those folks and watching that three tournament thing, man, that really excited me. You know, it's a 2 day and then it's a 1 day and then it's another 1 day. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. That was fun. And now I understand, you hear a lot of the anglers on the MLF side talking about the format and how exciting it is and how there's nothing like it. And I kind of thought that was lip service until I got closer to it mm-hmm. and seen it. And then I was like, dang, that is a cool format. And so shout out to them and a job well done. Had a ball at the Thunderbolt banquet, got a chance to say goodbye to KVD. Kind of sad, huh?
Yeah, that was awesome. That salute they gave to Kevin Van Dam there at, and they reran it too, on the floor before the final award ceremony where they crowned Dustin Red Crest champion. So the general public got to see it also. It's a very touching tribute to a man who just made such an impact on our sport, you know, for all of us.
Yep. Well, and they took it a step farther too, and they did a great thing for Sharon Van Dam, right? I mean, yep, you know, yep. It became very clear at that banquet that, you know, she was a big part of the glue that held the KVD machine together. And, mm-hmm. you know, MLF's tribute and Kevin's tribute to her was awesome. And to listen to that, I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
Hate to see him go, but it was real clear from Red Crest that he's just leaving the competitive aspect. So I'm sure he'll still be working closely with our friends at Strike King and a lot of our partners. And that's good for the sport. The more we can keep KVD around, the better off we'll be, I think.
Well, this January, I think, is when he said you're going to finally see his new TV show. It's going to air top of the year, January. And the older I get, the more I realize that'll be here before you know it. You know, when you're a kid, it sounds like forever away, but it's right around the corner, and I just can't wait to see what kind of TV content he puts out. He's going to put in the effort into that like he has in his career. It's going to be the best thing on TV. Maybe second to the Angler Channel Bass Wrap Up TV show. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're biased. We'll say you're biased on that, but I agree.
I might be a little bit. Yeah.
Well, to your point, you know, this episode was about Red Crest, and it's about DC, and we've got him on the line. Dustin Connell will be with us, your 2-time Red Crest champion, your stage 1 winner, and I think we're going to hear a lot more of DC, but I'm looking forward to talking to him today. Let's take a quick break. Word from our sponsors, guys, and when we come back, we'll have the man himself, Dustin Connell, around.
Sportsman's Warehouse is your one-stop convenient place to shop. Whether you're into camping, hunting, or fishing, our expert associates can help you find the gear you need. We carry a huge assortment of quality equipment from the best manufacturers in the country and around the world. We have guns, ammo, rods, lures, not to mention every kind of outdoor clothing for the whole family. You can shop in one of our fully stocked stores or visit us online at sportsmans.com. Visit Sportsman's Warehouse, shop one of over 130 locations nationwide and growing. This segment is brought to you by Relion Lithium Batteries, the power to challenge your limits.
Welcome back, everybody. This is an exciting one for Vance and I. We've been on the road covering championships, and we are connecting with your 2024 Red Crest two-time champion, Mr. Dustin Connell. Dustin, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, y'all? Appreciate you having me today, and I'm excited to talk a little bass fishing with you.
Oh, man. Have you been doing any bass fishing since Red Crest or Crest?
I went two times around my house, and they're spawning now, and the spots are still biting, you know, and it took 23 pounds this past weekend here on Lake Jordan beside my house, and it's been incredible, man. This spring has been one of the best springs that I've seen in a long time here on the Coosa.
We've been real dry over my way. Has the Coosa been kind of low flow and clear this year?
Yeah, it's been, we've had some rain coming in over this way. We had a big storm today, but the biggest thing around here is current. You know, we really need that current flowing through the system to get these fish biting, and it also kind of holds them back from spawning. So, but yeah, it's been incredible, and it was a great week at Lay Lake also.
I'd say, you know, talk to us a little bit about that win, man. I mean, home lake, you know, the thing that jumped out at me, I saw that crowd, the friends and family you had with you. How did that play into it, fishing that close to home and having that much support, man?
It meant a lot. You know, I've got a lot of family that lives here close. I mean, I grew up in Clanton, Alabama, so I'm not far from Lay Lake, not far from Beeswax Creek. And to be honest, Lay has kind of been my nemesis, I guess you would say, on the Coosa River for the past few years. Like, it hasn't, I wouldn't say it hasn't been very good to me, but I mean, it's been very good to me in the past. But Lay is a largemouth fishery for the most part. Now, certain times of year, spotted bass dominate, and March is one of them times of year where either one can win. But yeah, to basically sum up your question, I do love Lay Lake, and we had a ton of support there. And I'll dive into how I caught them here in a little bit. But yeah, just having my family there meant a ton to me, and it's very sentimental. I got very emotional about it before that I blasted off that morning. So, special place.
Vance, I know you had a question along those lines. With this being number two and the first one being COVID, why don't you grab it and see what we can find out there? It had to be a little different.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, Dustin. I remember you saying afterwards, after the tournament, that this is your second win, but the first one was during all that COVID wackiness that went on, and this one was back, everything back to full speed. How was this experience different for you from the last one you won?
Well, I'll say this. The first one was kind of thrown together. It was during that ice storm that we had. We were going to go to Palestine for that Red Crest. I went over there to pre-fish that lake a month ahead of time, and I was like, all right, good deal. I rode around the lake. I spent 2 days there for Red Crest. And then a historical ice storm rolls through the whole Midwest and Texas and Alabama, I remember. It was so bad I couldn't even go get my boat wrapped because you couldn't even get around. They said, all right, guys, we're going to go full speed. We've moved it to Lake Eufaula, Alabama. And I looked around, and this is 2 days before practice. So I'm like, okay. So I go out in my boat, and I just casually re-rig all my rods for Eufaula. And I was like, all right. So anyway, I won that tournament. I got very blessed, great week. But, dude, it was thrown together quick. I won the tournament in a parking lot. There was about 150 people there. I'd say 100 people. And it was just kind of a quick notice, hey. But I will say this, the check did spin the same. So
I'm not gonna ask.
It didn't really matter to me. I mean, I was just like, okay. But this experience, I got the whole experience of it, you know, got to be around the hometown crowd, and it was a lot of fun. I hate that it's already over. It's like you just dreamed it, and it was just like, boom, now it's over. But, yeah, it was great. Absolutely phenomenal. Loved it. Great experience. It was kind of bittersweet because I didn't get the full experience on the first. I kind of felt like I got robbed. I really, really did.
Well, this time, I mean, the crowds were really strong. The expo was good. Yep. And I mean, a lot of people showed up, supported it, and had a great time, brought the family down. And, I mean, that's a really nice aspect of it when y'all do the Red Crest and throw that expo out there. I mean, it's a spectacle for the whole family. And I know a lot of them took advantage and came and enjoyed meeting y'all and watching you win.
It is. It's a big deal. And I have a really great fan base that came. I mean, dude, I had people that had came from Wisconsin to come see us, to literally come and meet me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I met them at Bass Pro at the little meetup thing. And it's amazing how much support that our industry has, and whether it's for Bassmaster or MLF, I'm not biased for either one. I know the Classic had a great show and also, but like these fans are what makes this sport matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I support everything for about the fans, and having an expo is great.
Yeah. Dude, I want to throw in a personal highlight to that, Dustin. On day one, I found you, and I'm fishing with a young man by the name of Will. Leave Will's last name out, but Will's 13 years old, and he knew I was going to Red Crest, and he said, "Man, if you get the chance to see DC, I would love a picture." And I'm the guy that came up to you and said, "Hey, man, will you give my boy Will a little shout out over the camera?" And you did day one, you're coming off the water and you took the time to send him just a little personal kind of a cameo video, right? Telling Will to keep his head down and work hard and all that stuff. Dude, I think I heard him giggling from Alabama, and he was all the way up in Indiana. And to do that,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Danny, I do. I remember that. And it was at the side of my boat over there. I remember. But here's the thing, man. I keep this in mind. There, you know, and I'm going to be straight up, transparent, honest. There's a lot of negativity in this industry, and it's absolutely despicable to me. Like, it's just like, my God, man, fishing is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be pure. It's supposed to be something you do to enjoy and relax. And I don't know where or how or what happened lately in the past that brings controversy or drama and all this nonsense, dude. Like, anytime I see a kid around and he's talking about bass fishing, I could care less if he's staring at an electronic screen or whatever. That's pure fun for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I hold that kind of near and dear to my heart, because like, fishing for me has always been my passion. So when you came up to me and was like, "Hey man, can you shoot this video?" I don't care if MLF needed me to be somewhere an hour ago. I'm still going to shoot that, because that means a lot to somebody.
Well, it meant a lot to me, and I can't tell you how much it meant to Will. And Will just got his own cell phone, so I sent him the video. And then I thought, man, should I be sending fishing videos to Will? So I sent it to his mom, right? And I said, "Hey, just let you know, I sent this over to Will." And I, like, she got emotional. Like, it meant so much that she knew a guy that could connect her kid to his hero, and his hero took the time to and give him words of encouragement. And she had, and a little bit later, she sent me a note back, and she said, "Dude, you raised the bar really high. I don't know about how me and his dad are supposed to compete with something like that." And I said, "No, it wasn't any of that. It was about a kid getting a chance to get words of encouragement from his hero." And that's right. I mean, it makes me emotional thinking about it. Like, you know, I grew up reading Bassmaster, and I remember I went to I can't remember what they were called, but they used to do a seminar series. And I got Denny Brower to autograph a Denny Brower jig fishing book.
Right.
And dude, that thing sat in my room and motivated me for years to come.
Yeah.
And for you to, like you said, to take that time out, you had five people waiting to talk to you and get those clips and those socials, and for Will to get his personal cameo from DC, you won over several families in Indiana by doing that, man. And I'm glad to hear you get right to the negativity, because
Oh, I love it. I love talking about it. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk. Let's talk about it. Everybody wants to. Let's talk.
That's those
media guys. That's media guys like us, like me and Danny. Media guys are blowing that up, huh? Blowing out of proportion.
Well, it ain't even that. There's a lot of anglers within the industry that love negativity, boy. Ooh, yeah. They love it. They spew it. They love doing podcasts, negative podcasts. They enjoy that.
Social media has changed the way we do a lot of stuff. Talk about football or anything. It's, you know what I mean? It's just it's a dang argument on there, and it's not what the way people are supposed to interact. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I'll say this. We do YouTube. We do. I spend a lot of time, and I mean, we invest a lot of time and money into filming, and you know, trying to create content for our fans and real content. They want to see real emotion. They want to see real things. And I mean, it's so easy to be negative. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. The only time I'm really honestly negative about anything is when I don't catch them. When I don't catch them, dude, I ain't gonna lie. I don't know anybody who's in a great mood when they don't catch them. I mean, like, if you go out there and go bass fishing and you don't get a bite, I don't know someone who's in an amazing mood. I mean, they may not be mad, but me as a competitor, if I don't catch them or miss a cut, I'm going to be a little bit sour. That's just the competitor in me. But there's just a lot of people that are sour every day of their life about it, whether it's forward-facing sonar or format changes or whatever. And I'm like, dude, we're out here fishing. It's supposed to be fun. Where do we spew away from the fun side of it? Because where I live and where I'm from, we still have fun. We still, it's a genuine passion. And all the external things, I don't listen to them.
Well, I was going to be one of my questions if it ever gets in your head. And I think I can tell from your demeanor in that answer that it doesn't. And I commend you for that. Because as to Vance's point, as us as media guys, like we put out content. You know, the classic's a great example. We put your videos up. We put this past week, we put up some of Justin's videos. And I was sickened by how quickly people grabbed it and made it about the technology and all that stuff. And dude, the guy couldn't rub two nickels together not that long ago to make a dime. He's got a story about scraping for cheeseburgers. And
it doesn't matter to them. It's all about the you know, the harsh reality about professional bass fishing, and I'm gonna be honest, I'll probably catch some slack from these comments. That's fine. The harsh reality of it is, man, we're out here trying to make a living. We're out here just honestly, like, dude, if you really want to know the realities and harsh realities of what we do, it really stinks driving home 20 hours from up north with $0 in your pocket, and that's just where we're at. You know, if you don't perform, this is a performance based business. It's always been that way. It always will be. If you don't catch them, you fall out. You know, that's just the way it is. And that's the way it should be. I mean, if you see guys in the football industry, I mean, football, baseball, if a guy strikes out six or seven times in a row, he's probably going to be on the bench or he might be off the team.
Yep.
And like, there isn't a fallback cushion for those guys. It's like, hey, you either perform or you be at the top of your game. And right now in this industry, just to be blunt, the top of your game is being at every aspect. It's no longer about who can cast a jig under a dock. Being at the top of your game is no longer about trying your best to be traditional. Being at top of your game is learning electronics. It's the same way it's been for 15, 20 years. Guys that were really good at 2D did really good in all four tournaments. And then it transitioned to guys that were really good at side imaging and down imaging. You see Randy Haynes's and all them other guys that were really good at that. Well, then that fad kind of became common. And then everybody could do that. Then it's like, all right, where's the next niche? So 7 years ago, this technology is not new. 7 years ago, this stuff came out, 6, 7 years ago, and I didn't have my hands on that at the time, but I knew and I seen where things were going. There were several tournaments, one with forward-facing sonar, but there wasn't any hooping and hollering about it until the mainstream anglers got a hold of it. You had a 20% that really knew what was going on for a while, and it didn't really matter. Now 85% know it very well. It's just changed how fishing, changed fishing.
You know, one thing that jumped out at me that kind of galvanized me on this, and I, you know, I love the traditional stuff, but at no point do I want a pistol grip or a big round metal bait caster. Like, I don't want that stuff, right? I like my gear and I like my technology. But something that really resonated with me, you guys get on, whether it's on stage or on camera, and you speak to those young guys, just like a Will, for example, and you tell a 10 or a 12-year-old boy that's eat up with it, here's what you have to do. You have to stay on. You have to learn the electronics. It's not just fishing now. It's social. It's all these things. The veterans of this industry have been preaching for 10 to 12 years, work hard, learn your electronics, do all these things. And guess what? There were 10 and 12-year-olds listening, and they did it. And now they're 20-somethings, and they're kicking your tail, and you want to say, this is no good. We need to change the rules. No, man, you guys created the monsters. You created the monsters. Am I right or wrong?
You're flirting around, getting me in trouble.
Well, hey, all I'm saying is,
I'll say this, and I'm gonna keep it real with the listeners and everybody. You can't sign a boy's hat that's 12 years old. You can't sign my hat. Look me in my face and wish the best for me. And when I finally might have a breakthrough season, such as the young guy on Fork, or for that matter, me or any of them, and then hate on him for that.
Yeah.
That is the most hypocritical thing I've ever seen in my life. It's the most personal based agenda that I've ever seen. So you want to grow the sport, but only on your terms when they only benefit you. And I'm like, we can't have it both ways, boys. Y'all can't have it both ways.
No. And I come from college fishing and doing the college background, and I've said all along, when I was first in college fishing, it was like 2001. It wasn't organized and stuff. And my thing then, I saw what it was, because I'm sure you had a dad, brother, uncle, cousin, someone who taught you. But the world is full of young men and women who want to fish that don't have that. And so we develop a program where they can get involved in high school, and maybe they don't have those contacts immediately close to them, but there's a mechanism for them now. And then we take them from high school to college, and there's a mechanism for them to come out, and they're just better anglers. Vance and I have been talking about this for a while. We are building better anglers. And, you know, the only person that doesn't benefit from that are the guys that are there, because the people coming up are getting schooled up and educated quicker than they did. But to your point, it is a very personal agenda when you start talking them down or trying to limit some of that stuff. So I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, but man, after back-to-back championships and some of the stuff I've seen, I'm kind of galvanized the other way. Like, we need to be better humans in this space on some of that stuff, in my opinion. I'm not speaking for you. I'm just saying they done got me riled up, because I've seen a lot of shade thrown that I don't think is appropriate.
I do want to get somebody in trouble. I'm going to throw this out. So a man from Alabama. So what are your thoughts on the Alabama rig getting banned a few years back? I can't use 5 hooks, but by God, I can put $50,000 worth of electronics on my boat. How do we reconcile those two mindsets? In your opinion, was that a mistake to ban that bit of innovation, Alabama rig? Yeah. It's not dominating now like it was. I mean, that wasn't going to kill the sport.
No, I'll say this. We live in a free enterprise, and we can do as we please if you have the money and the time and the effort, and let's not demise hard work. So if a man has 17 electronic graphs on his boat, all kudos to him, because here's the thing. I can remember 16 years ago, I was – how old am I? Daggone, I'm forgetting. I was about 15 years old, okay? I grew up – I bought my brother's old school boat. It was a hand-me-down. It was a Champion 196 with a Force motor on it. I used that throughout college. Do you know what electronics I had on?
Zero.
I had zero. And then after that, I was finally, when I turned like 17, I was 16. I asked my mom for Christmas, can you get me a graph? I had like a Lowrance 455 or something. It was literally just a 2D and a GPS map. I had it on the back. I went to Bass Pro Shop. I got one of them gray click mounts. It would go click, 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 click. And I would turn that thing from the back, and I'd look down at my console and look down there, and I knew my transducer was on the very back. And if I seen some fish swimming under the boat, I'd have to pitch near my motor to drop them. I didn't have a trolling motor on the front. I didn't have the money to do that. So the notion of these kids nowadays, they don't know what coming up through the ranks and not fishing and all that. Dude, I came through the ranks and I just learned fishing, man. I just learned instincts. You cannot replace instincts. You can't plug these electronics on the boat and expect someone to just turn pro. You can't plug every angler in the field has the technology. Mm-hmm. And I don't never met a group of people that are so upset about a young kid taking his time out of his day and really learning electronics. And since when did we stop learning as a mass of fishermen? That's where I'm at. Do we know it all? Do we just stop learning now? Sorry, I'm over talking. I'm very passionate about this stuff.
No, this is what I wanted to get into, and I'm a little concerned because I'm like holding back myself because I'm hot about this thing. And I think that maybe one thing we could do, tell us your story. Finish that from 16 to Elite Series Rookie of the Year on the Bassmaster side in 2017 to two-time Red Crest winner, Stage 1 winner this year. For folks that don't know, this wasn't a dad put me in this thing. I started with the best. Tell us your story a little bit, Dustin, because I think maybe some people look past that because you're young. We know we started with the boat, but you had to keep grinding all the way through. What did you come through the opens to get started?
Yeah, so long story short, I'm trying not to bore y'all to death with these stories. Long story short, I went to Alabama. I graduated high school, went to Alabama. They did not have high school fishing at the time, so I went to Alabama, was on the fishing team there. That's the main reason I wanted to go to college. I was like, dude, I want to go on the fishing team. So I went there. I changed my major to business marketing. So the plan kind of started evolving when I was like a sophomore in college. I was like, man, this is what I want to do. Point blank period. I mean, I was ate up with it. I would watch YouTube videos and just old Bassmaster stuff the same way we all have. But I was just, that's the only thing consumed my life is fishing. And anyway, long story short, I graduated college with a marketing degree. I left college, came home, said, let's go. I'm ready. Let's make a shot at this. I said, my plan was to fish locally around the house. And I had won a lot of tournaments around the house, like a lot. And that's the main source of my income. But I came home, I ended up I won several tournaments that year when I came home. And then I went broke. It just didn't work out. Didn't have a dime to my name. I fished an open in 2014 in Florida, missed the cut by like a pound. Went broke, had a credit card that was maxed out, did the whole deal. Like, hey, man, I'm in shambles. The dream is over. So I then had to leave and go and work construction for about a year in Winston-Salem, North Carolina to get my feet back underneath me. I've got a college degree, but I couldn't find a job that I need. I mean, I needed to make some money to pay for my bills and all that, and I'm scraping by. So this was 2014, 10 years ago. And I go and fish. I mean, I go up there and work. I came home and I signed up for a Bassmaster Open in 2015 of April, I remember. I go and I practice for a week for this tournament. I win it. I win the Open. I did not get a classic bid because I did not fish all of them. Didn't have enough money to fish all of them. So after that, I made $50,000. Paid off a lot of debt with that. And I said, all right, I'm going back to fish the Opens next year. Long story short, I qualified, fished 2017 Elite Series, won Ross Barnett, got Rookie of the Year, progressed to Major League Fishing in 19, and here we are today. So it has not been a very easy route. I think a lot of guys have that route too. But I did not have a silver spoon. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no, and I think that was good to hear. And I think the big difference between champions and keyboard warriors is that the champion got knocked down and had to start over and got knocked down and had to do it again and had to keep going, right? And that's what makes a champion. And so, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And for folks that didn't know that, I hope they remember that it was there were a lot of doors closed along the way and you just kept kicking them open. And then, like you said, 10 years later, top of the heat, 2 red crests and stage one. And man, that's fantastic.
But the doer of deeds, it's the critic doesn't matter. They know victory nor defeat because they were not the one that went through all of it. So that's why I don't really listen to any of it.
Yeah.
Let's talk fishing. Let's talk fishing before we get too bad. That first day, man, I remember day one we talked, and that first morning, things weren't clicking for you. Talk a little bit about what happened there. I think I remember you on the ramp saying that you actually got a little spun out on day one mentally. Is that right?
Man, I did. You know, that tournament, I'm not going to lie, it's very hard to fish around your house locally, man. It's just hard to turn off past experience, you know. You run down the lake and you're like, man, I caught one there and I caught one there. And it was very hard for me in practice. And I was like, my goodness. And you put so much emphasis on a tournament like this. It's just like you put way too much pressure on yourself. So the first day of the tournament, I was a little shook up a little bit. I mean, I let emotions get to me a little bit. I was fishing tense, anxious, tense. But I made it through the day, and then I fished a little more comfortable every day. And by the final day, I was comfortable.
Yeah, it looked like it. It looked like you were comfortable on that final day.
Yeah, that's, you know, tournament fishing, two of the biggest factors of tournament fishing is decision-making and time management. And it just really struck me what Dustin said there on the final day that, you know, at the press conference, you said you were going from spot A to spot B, but along the way you stopped in a big old cove, bigger or a little, I guess a bay there or whatever, the pocket, where you never really caught them good before in the past. You got a lot of experience on that lake, and you said you just really never been lights out in that area before. Now, I'm just wondering what changed your mind, what pulled at you, what spoke to you and said, man, I need to stop and check this out and fish here, because that's where you just ran away with it on the final day. You just killed everybody right there.
I took on day two, this is on our YouTube channel, but on day two, I ran in to Lacusa. That's the name of that little small bay. There's an island at the mouth of it. On day two of the tournament, the qualifying round day two, I ran in there to check some timber and check a little gravel place on the left-hand side. I ran in there to check that because it's been warming up, and I knew there might be some spots staging up around that gravel and stuff like that. So I checked that. I didn't get a bite, and then I dropped off in this depression, and there was bait in it. There was bait everywhere, and I caught one. It was a 4-pounder. And I was like, okay. And then I looked, I panned over to the left, and I caught like a 2-pounder. And I'm like, all right. So I was good inside the cut, and I said, dude, we got to go up the river. I know up the river really well. We have 2.5 hours. Let me just run up there and check this while I'm practicing. So I fired the motor up, and I ran intentionally. I ran inside the island, and I ran over the other ditch. The depression, I guess you would call it, drain in that bay, and the bait was just lit up on 2D while I was running. And I was like, okay, mental note, we're good. Ran all the way up the river, kind of put it to the side. If I go back down the river, that's somewhere to check. So fast forward to championship day, I go down the lake where a lot of guys were at down there. And fish were on them big back swings. A lot of the bait was in there. They were just getting too pressured. So I left on championship day, we're like 30 minutes after blast off, after lines in, went straight to that place where I caught the 4-pounder, caught 2 3-pounders. And I'm like, dude, they're in here. Oh, God. So I idled over there to that other place, and it was a collision. They were there. The bait was there. But just little bitty paying attention to little bitty details, running over that, watching my 2D while I'm running, mental note, I caught a 4-pounder, understanding what's happening. They're making that pre-spawn push hardcore. you can still find new stuff on your home lakes. You have to be open-minded.
That's what's really cool to me because, yeah, you went and looked around at a place that historically hadn't been good, and you just you sort of viewed it with a fresh set of eyes, you know, which is, I think, where we fall into traps. We fall into old ways of doing things, and what's the old investment caveat? Past performance is no guarantee of future success, right? And you, you're able to put that out of your mind and live in the moment, and that's just what a great decision you made there, and it's, boy, it really worked out for you.
Yeah, it was great. It was a fun day. I did not expect them to be in there that hardcore. Now, I will say this. I've caught some big spots in there before on a jerk bait. I've caught them on a topwater. I remember seeing them schooling in there years ago. And I knew that that place had potential, but I'd never crushed them like that. Caught 14 over 3 pounds. I had a 20-pound five-fish limit of spots in there, and that was phenomenal.
Man.
Good Lord was looking out for me. Yep.
Well, that brings up something. You know, this was my first Red Crest attending that. I've been to a lot of, you know, five fish events. This was my first Red Crest watching every fish count unfold. And the way you guys have to manage your time out there and just stay ahead of that cut line and then find new things, that format seems to suit you well because of that fish the moment mentality. Talk to us a little bit about how that format allows you to have that freedom to think and do while the tournament's going on.
I do very well in that format. The main reason is because you can make decisions kind of on the fly and generate bites. I like figuring out what the fish are doing. It's a puzzle piece to me. And then there's a lot of times where you see guys that are looking. They ain't catching nothing. They're looking. And I spend a lot of time idling and running around. I fish up fast, man. I do. I run around quick, and I'm paying attention to everything, whether it's birds diving or whatever, you know. And I'm just – you got to know what you're on. You got to know, like, hey, you got to be honest with yourself. Am I on a winning pattern, or am I on a fifth-place pattern? Am I on a 10th – or am I relying on hope? And doing in this format, you can't rely on 1 6-pound bite to ride you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I could go and swim a jig and maybe catch a 5 or 6 pounder, but I know that ain't very likely. So I have to run around and fish conditions at the time. If there's a windy bank and it's blowing in on it and I see two birds, I'm rolling up and I'm going to swim a jig on that bank just to check. And then I'm bouncing to another place and I'm bouncing to another place. We did the same thing at Toledo. That tournament was so challenging trying to stay on them fish. The bait would leave, the mud would push out, wind would blow bait in somewhere, and then the fish would leave, and it was just every day. Just a trial and error deal. Having confidence on the water with your decisions is everything.
Yeah, I was blown away with the way you guys were able to manage your time, and not just you. That's a shout out to all the Red Crest competitors as far as just staying ahead of that cut line and then using the time they had to be working on the next day. I mean, for people that didn't follow that, I mean, it was essentially three tournaments in one. And that had to be one of the most exciting formats to watch go down because you couldn't run away. If somebody started to run away with it, well, then you got to reset, right? There's only one day to really run away with it, and that's on the final day. And
you got to manage these fish too. It doesn't matter what you catch on day one. You got to know what the cut is and be very smart. And a lot of it has to do with strategy. You cannot expose your hand too early. It's kind of like poker. You can't – don't expose your hand too early. Don't everybody see every card you got, because if they see that, it will go down quick.
Is that because guys will come in on you? Nobody does that in the sport, do they?
No. not in this sport. No, not. No, the biggest thing is, you know, for example, if I'm, let's say I'm fishing a main river stretch with laydowns and I've got 30 pounds or whatever I've got, it ain't that hard to run by somebody and say, oh, he's fishing laydowns. Run down the lake a mile from here and you catch two out of a laydown and then, oh man, I'm on a pattern. You know, so before you know it, you got someone sees him and someone sees him, and then you got several more guys doing what you're doing. So you just got to be very smart.
That excited me, seeing that and seeing that go down. And I think that's a little bit foreign to your weekend angler, your five bass guy who, you know, like in my area, you get on an area that you know is kind of juicy and you may stay on it all day because you're looking for those five and you got to kind of protect your water. And watching you guys have to spread that out and, like you said, not play all your cards, I found it fascinating and I've become a big fan of what y'all do over there in that format. I feel like it's bass fishing on steroids a little bit.
Absolutely. But yeah, it was a great week. Great week for my family. My wife, we're expecting a baby boy here soon. You know, and I don't discount that at all. She supports me through everything. Along with my sponsors, they've helped me out a ton. I had, you know, guys from Rapala there. I had Bass Pro was there. Triton, they all go down the list. Everybody was supporting us. You guys were there. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome to see. And, you know, you're talking about that new baby coming. Vance, how many anglers have we had on the podcast that came out and won an event after a new baby?
And we were talking about that the other day, the baby pattern. Somebody else was on it, you know, that it was do a baby. So there's something to that baby pattern. I don't know if it just drums up all your instincts, your dad instincts, protective provider instincts, and you're just firing on all cylinders because you got a kid coming. I know when my first baby was born and I held it and I looked at it, I felt like Superman. Like I can do whatever I need to do to take care of this baby, right? I had to run through a brick wall before I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? You just feel like you got some superpowers you didn't have before.
Well, you're not.
I think maybe there's something to that, man.
I said this today. I'm not only fishing for me no more. Like I'm not fishing for me. I'm not fishing for. I mean, I have to fish for my family, and I have to fish smart. And I'm working 10 times as hard, I feel like. And not saying I wasn't working hard before, but, like, we got a big moment coming soon, and I got to take advantage of every moment I can away from home. So, I don't know. It just kind of puts a little extra oomph in your effort, I guess you'd say.
Well, purpose is so important. Anything we do, purpose. And when you have that family counting on you, you have now a bigger purpose. Whether it's just a wife or whether it's a wife and some kids, you know, or your single dad, or you got somebody else counting on you. Now you have more purpose. And I think purpose drives all of us to get out of bed and go be great every day.
100%. And, you know, I contribute a lot of that to my faith also. I really do. But yeah, other than that, it was a great week. And I will touch on this, on the negativity side of it. I do get fired up about things like that, but I do see a ton of positives in our sport, man. I see it every day. I have guys come up to me and they dang near start crying because they either A, you know, it got them out of a dark place, fishing did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I see that. I get stopped all the time. There's so many success stories, kids making it through their high school, you know, in high school fishing, and they got a passion from it, man. You cannot let yourself – you are what your surroundings are. You know what I mean? If you surround yourself with positivity, you're going to be positive. If you surround yourself with the other, you know. So, but, yeah, I focus on positive things the best I can. I am passionate about what we do. So, you know, and, I mean, I could go on for days about stuff like that. But there's a ton of positive in bass fishing, and I'm so lucky to get to see it.
Yeah, if I came across as jaded on the industry as a whole, I'm definitely not. It's a small subset of what I'm seeing, and I agree with that. You know, whether it's the little guy that I fish with, or all the fans that came up to see you, man, there is positive, and we are growing the sport. And I think that a lot of the youth could care less how DC is winning. They just want DC to win, and that win motivates them, right? Because all they want to do is be like DC and do it. And yeah, I think that this will pass. I was talking with somebody one day, I think it was actually at the Red Crest at the boat ramp, we were talking about it. And a guy used the analogy that we're seeing a turnover like you would see in a pond or a lake, right? Like occasionally when a lake rolls over, there's some nasty stuff that comes to the surface, right? But eventually that stuff settles out, the water looks better, and everything's in a better spot for it. And I thought that was a great analogy. It's kind of like the lake's turning over right now, and there's a little bit of crud floating up, but it'll all settle.
Oh, 100%. It'll be good. And I think the industry as a whole is turning around, from COVID and, financially and stuff like that. So it's really good. I think the best days are ahead. So we got Dale Hollow next. I'm excited about that. And we got a pretty decent long season. It's just March. It's beginning of April. Fish are starting to spawn. So it's about to be exciting.
Which one's got you most? You got anything on your calendar that you're more excited about than the others?
St. Lawrence River. I absolutely love that place. I do. I have not been there in a few years. Gosh, I love catching smallmouth. I love that place. It is so fun. It's beautiful. The weather's nice. Clear water, big smallmouth. That tournament's going to be fun. And then Dale Hollow's next. So I've never been to Dale Hollow. It'll be awesome to fish it. So a lot of big things coming. And we're excited.
Yeah, Dale Hollow is a little closer to me, close enough that I hear, people in my area going there, and I see it and follow it a little bit more. And I think that one's going to surprise a lot of folks. And I think there's going to be a lot of fish caught there too. And
100%.
going to be fun. And that'll be cool to see an event there. It's been a while since I can't think of anything real big that's been there recently that caught my attention. So I'm looking forward to seeing that one. I'm even thinking about going out there and riding over there and checking it out, V, maybe taking a phone and shooting some DC interviews at the weigh-in or something,
Come on with it, man. I'll be there. But I appreciate you guys having me this afternoon, and I'm gonna go turkey hunting in the morning and have a little home time until we take off. But thank y'all again, and hopefully we talk soon.
Believe so. Man, we appreciate it and congratulations. I think you're going to be a great ambassador for the sport and that passion comes through, man, and we need that here. So thank you very much for that and thanks for looking out for those little guys and taking the time for the kids, man. It makes a big difference in our space, I believe.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
See you.
At Mercury, there are no limits to the lengths we'll go to make sure you have no limits either. Unlimited adrenaline. Unlimited fun. Unlimited weekend. Except maybe having to go home eventually. Introducing the all-new V8 Mercury Pro XS. Light, quick, efficient. Mercury, go boldly.
Well, Vance, my dude, it was everything I expected and more. Dude is passionate and I love it. Absolutely love it. And I have become a big DC fan since Red Crest.
Somebody said a long time ago, no talking about who you fish with and spending time with family and stuff, but they said, sometimes it's not the fish that you're trying to get close to. And I think the human angle and the personal interest angle is so important to remember. And Dustin was very real with us there. It's very real. He gave us a glimpse behind the curtains there and what's going on in his mind, with the state of the industry and him personally, and just becoming a father and just the whole thing, that the seasons of life and where he's at right now, and where he is. He's on top of the game and on top of his game and the tournament fishing world. Man, congrats to him and all the hard work he's put in over the years. And it's just good to see somebody come from, humble beginnings more or less, and work hard and give us that inspiration that no matter how much the game changes or technology and all that, there's still that good old work ethic, get you there, and developing those instincts, that time on the water.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better on that part, and I think he's going to be a great ambassador for it, and it's cool to see. Trying to think of how to. I don't wish anybody have to have struggles, but I admire those that have the struggles, overcome them, and still get to the top, right? I think the people that can overcome the struggles along the way are the ones that are destined for success. Because the struggles are setbacks, not roadblocks. A lot of the stuff that he talked about, having to hang up the fishing and going and doing the work, a lot of people would have seen that as a closed door and the opportunities passed them. And for him, it was just a roadblock he had to work his way through. And I admire the hell out of that.
Yeah, the struggle makes you strong, right? If the chick didn't have to peck his way out of the egg, the chick wouldn't be ready to come out of the egg. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it for him. It's pecking his way out of the egg that makes the chick strong and prepares him for the rest of his life so he can fly and whatever. But The struggle, that's part of it. You look back at it, and I think it adds to the satisfaction. And when you do overcome it and you benefit from it, you know, makes it that much sweeter when you have that kind of success. And boy, Dustin, he sure has some success in the Red Crest this year. And it was fun to watch him do that.
Be more of it this year still. I don't think he's done. I think he's hit a stride that is going to show itself a couple more times this year. Whether or not, I don't know that I'm predicting multiple championship wins this year, but I think the dude's going to be on top for a while. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. He and his buddy Wheeler, they're good buddies, but this is turning into a good rivalry too, man. It's kind of like, you know, they're both kind of going to be neck and neck right there. You know, probably finishing up in the top 10 together a lot. And I know he and Jake Wheeler have that good relationship, and it's fun to see two guys strive together like that. And on the water, they're going to be fierce competitors, and off the water, they're going to be good friends. And that's nice.
Well, I think that comment he made about what you surround yourself with too, right? I mean, yeah. if you're around top notch talent and you're having high level conversations about what it takes and that type of stuff, I think that you've got a competitive advantage in that, you know, you're measuring yourself against a tough stick, right? And so therefore your expectations, your friend's expectations of you are going to be higher, and your expectations of yourself are going to be higher. If he was spending his time with whatever, riffraff, for lack of a better word, I don't think that you would see that kind of elevation of his game. And he hit on that. You know, if you're surrounded with positivity, you're positive. And if you're surrounded with negativity, you're negative.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's cut to a quick break, get a couple words from our sponsors. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about our recent travels and get some closing thoughts for everybody. Everybody stick around. Vance and I will be back just in a moment with the rest of your AC Insider podcast.
Leaders in innovation and anglers at heart. Lewes is founded on a rich heritage of building the best. 70 years of cutting-edge innovation with one goal in mind, to answer the call of passionate anglers who demand reliability, durability, and tournament-level performance. Delivering the best for you to perform at your best, on and off the water.
This segment is brought to you by Strike King. Get out there and tie one on.
Welcome back. Vance, we packed a lot of Red Crest stuff in here, and man, DC did us right. We pushed a couple passion buttons, and I like that. I need to figure out how to do that more often, because we were getting fired up. I was fired up. He was fired up. And I think rightfully so on that note. You know, I don't want to throw any more stones. I don't want our podcast to be that. But man, if you guys are listening out there, think twice before you bang on the keyboard and throw shade. If you don't know, maybe keep your opinion to yourself for a minute, because I think that there's real stories behind every one of these anglers, young or old. You never know what somebody's going through or how they got to where they were, right? And I think DC really showed that. In my mind, prior to learning a little bit more, I just didn't realize the grind that it took for him personally to get there. So, I mean, the dude's worked his way up and earned every bit of that. And I think that's great.
Yeah, so he's somebody to take a little snippet. We kind of live in snapshot memories, right? We remember what we want to remember, and people will look at him being on top and everything. They look at him using the best electronics to win, whatever. And they don't see 15 years it takes a guy to become an overnight success, quote unquote, right? So there's a whole lot of time and effort that goes into that. And Dustin got raw and got real with us about that. And I think that story is a lot more common than people realize. You know, his fellow Alabamian, Justin, the one over there, the classic. We'll talk about that next episode, I suppose. But same thing. He just stopped mowing grass last year, midseason, to devote himself full time to fishing. You know, Dustin's had to do some construction work, and I think all of us have had to. Especially if you're going to chase this sport, you kind of got to be resilient, be creative, do what it takes to get it done. And that work ethic is just so important. The work ethic is huge. It's there. And it's easy to miss that when you're sitting behind a keyboard and just wanting to, you know, like you say, throw shade on somebody or something. So just just remember, that's a real person. They've been somewhere. Dustin, obviously, is very real and was very honest with us about it. And I enjoyed that conversation. He does have a lot of passion for the sport and for life in general, and got some big things coming up in his life personally.
Yep. And I appreciate that he referenced his faith being one of his guiding principles and his family being one of his guiding principles. And, you know, I think part of it may be that these guys, they get to a point where they make winning look easy. And maybe that makes people mad because they want winning to be hard and they don't realize that it was hard. We just, to your point, right? Like, we work with Ricky Bosford, Bass 365 brings us content. You know, the instructions are give us 45 good seconds, right? I mean, that's what people want, 30, 45 seconds. Don't give us 2 minutes because that's too long.
Yeah.
And so with people focused on the 45 minute or the 45 second juice, we forget about what it took to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. The man's 30 something years old. He's had an entire life story to get to this one big crowning moment. We're all focused the microscope on him in this moment. You know, well, where were we, you know, when he didn't make a cut, when he fished the Open in Florida and didn't make a cut, you know, and like Hammer talking about going fishing up north, barely having money for a cheeseburger to come home. And, I mean, I remember those days just fishing, you know, like I got $5 back when you gas a dollar a gallon. And I'm like, boy, I hope I can make it back home from Gainesville on this, you know, and. I think we've all been there. If you've got a passion for the sport, it'll break you financially, emotionally, and building yourself back up and overcoming all of that is just what builds character. And Dustin certainly has a lot of character, and he's going to be a great representative of the sport over the next year and going to carry that banner high for all of us.
Absolutely. Well, this was our Red Crest edition, but obviously we did Red Crest in the Classic back to back, and we got more of the same at Bassmaster. You know, we got a young ambassador for this year, champion, world champion, Bassmaster Classic winner, Justin Hamner, and he's got a similar story, and he's a young gun. And like you said, he was digging around under the seat looking for cheeseburger money after getting his tail kicked. So I'm loving it. I'm loving the young revolution that we're seeing. And, you know, I just want to reiterate that these young anglers we're seeing are a product of our own doing in our own sport. And I cannot stress that enough, because I remember as a young boy, the anglers telling me, you know, you got to work hard. You got to put your time in. You got to know your equipment. You got to know your water. And by the way, it's also good to be able to do marketing and business and carry on a conversation. You know, we weren't talking social when I was young, but having that education and having those people skills was stressed by some of the pioneers in the sport, because they knew 25 years ago that it was fish catching and public relations.
Yeah.
And so if you keep preaching that message, you're going to preach it to young men and women who take it to heart. And we cannot be mad at them as anglers when they take our advice. We can't be mad that they're better than us, man. That's just wrong. I'll stand here all day long and say it is wrong to beat on them for taking our advice and getting good quicker than we were able to.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are old souls at heart, just like the rest of us. And I mean, we got to meet Tyler Williams, and how cool is that guy? The classic, he uses the electronics, but he throws a jig. He loves a jig, loves to throw a jig. How old school can you get? Rides out there barefoot throwing a jig. These guys, I mean, they're as cool as ever. They're a great, great young crop of guys. And I think we need to all adopt, you know, in our minds, all these young guys coming up. And I know you got a buddy that you're taking under your wing there, and the young man, you're teaching him how to fish. Will, right? He's 13, and get out there and fish with all the grown men. And it just feels so good to pass on to the next generation what you've learned. And they're going to surpass you. That's the idea. That's the point, you know. My son is doing better than I did. He's smarter than I am, apparently. And, you know.
Isn't that what every parent dreams of, though? I mean, isn't that what every parent dreams of, is you want your children to succeed more than you succeeded. You want life to be even more enjoyable for them than it was for you. And so, you know, we're cultivating a youth culture. And to your point about my boy Will, I cannot wait for the day that he rolls up and dumps a boat in on the same body of water as me, and he takes my money. Because I'm going to be proud of that. Because I think that even if my part was small, I had a part. And if I get to see that one day, it'll be an awesome day, and I will be happy to hand him my money out of the fruit jar, I promise you.
Sure enough.
You know, and along those lines,
hey, that's the only way we stay immortal. That's the only way we live on, outlive ourselves, right? Is pour ourselves into the next generation. That's immortality right there. That's a piece of you living on forever, is the way I look at it.
Dang it, man. That's heavy. You're right. Gives me the willies. You know, along those lines, you know, we're also found a few young guns that are interested in coming over and being AC insiders with us, right? And you know, from our travels together, I'm going to lean into that. We've got some young, talented guys that want to be a part of this industry. And you know, we owe it to them to create opportunities to help introduce them to the media side too, right? I mean, it takes somebody to crack a door, to make an introduction, to get into this industry, right? I mean, we circle our wagons and it's hard to crack into this. So
I thought you were going to say we owe it to them to push them away and say, run, do anything but this. It's a lot of work for what we get out of it. It's a labor of love.
Well, you know, you were standing there with one of the young men that we talked to at Red Crest, and you heard me tell him, my advice was go do something else. But if you're not going to go do something else, come with me and I'll show you the way, right? And right, you can tell.
You, come on.
That's right. And, you know, his thing was, I love this. So we're just teasing a little bit, but I'm going to be introducing a new AC insider soon that's going to help us showcase some of these new young anglers. And it might ruffle feathers, dude, but I'm proud of it. I'm proud of passing on the tradition and trying to recruit young talent, not only on the angling side, but run young talent on the industry side. Because if we don't do it, who will? And if it doesn't happen, where do we go from here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's good to be here to document the sport, cover it, share it with people, and the way that we get to share it, you know, kind of, I don't know, maybe be like a teacher in some aspect. And that's what draws me to doing this is I'm hoping some young guy's going to read this, listen. You read what I write, watch this, listen to the podcast, and he'll go out and do something besides sit on the sofa or play video games. He'll go out and he'll pick up a fishing pole and he'll have him a good time and may just entertain himself for a day, may make a career out of it, might be the next Dustin Connell. But you know, just to share the sport, share our passion, you know, with others, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Well, hey, on that note, you know, we're basically celebrating. We're one day away from my 1-year anniversary here at Anglers Channel. And I got to say, it's been an awesome year. It's been an awesome ride. Told you that I feel like we did a lot of backlash picking in the last 12 months, but we got them picked out. And man, I'm excited. I'm excited about where the space is. I'm excited about where our brand is. And, you know, just want to encourage everybody to tune in, follow along, like, subscribe, hit us up. If you got questions, reach out. And if you're a young guy with some passion that's looking for something to do, hit us up. We know things. We know things and we know people. So at the end of the day, that's what this business is, right? It's people doing business with people. And for those people that are still listening at the end of the podcast, we appreciate you as well.
Hey, and if you liked it, tell a friend. If you didn't, tell us.
Listen, we appreciate y'all, Vance. It's always a pleasure. But I'm going to put this thing to bed, get it posted to the web, and get back to fishing stuff, you know?
10-4, man.
All right. Tight lines, everybody. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the AC Insider Podcast. We appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to this week's Anglers Channel Insider Podcast, presented by Sportsman's Warehouse. Also brought to you in part by Pro Charging Systems, makers of the Dual Pro Chargers, TH Marine, Trickstep, Toyota Bonus Bucks, Costa Conserve and Compete, and of course, AnglersChannel.com, your number one tournament bass fishing resource.